Let's take a walk. I don't mean literally. If you'll notice, all of the songs that have been led thus far this evening have had the theme of walking. That's because the title of the sermon this evening is Walking with God. For a text, we chose in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And two times within three of these verses, the latter three verses, we find a phrase, walked with God. We know that the first part of Genesis is talking about the spread and the increase of man and the ones that were born to other people and how long they lived. And oftentimes people wonder how long that man can live. Well, time was the same. Evening and the morning was the first day. And so a day was 24 hours long. That means a year was 365 days. And when it says that these people lived all these number of years, yes, God saw to it that man was designed to live that long. And later on in the Bible, we'll find out that he shortened man's time here on earth. But part of the reason they lived so long then was to spread all over the earth. But as we look at our text, Genesis 5, verses 21 beginning, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Walking, in the sense of our text, is not just a means of locomotion. For years, my wife has tried to get me to walk. And she has good intentions, and it would be good for me. But I don't like to get out and walk. But walk, defined, is to use one's feet to advance in a direction by taking steps. But there are other definitions as well. A lesser used definition is to accompany. And this is the one that applies to Enoch when we read there in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. You notice also he was not, for God took him. Enoch accompanied God. He did as God directed and desired. Never do we have man acting as he should when he's acting separate and apart from the direction given by God. Therefore, he was pleasing to God to the point that God spared Enoch the sting of death. God took him. There was a dear older lady in a congregation we once attended, and one of her favorite jokes was that God blessed me with two husbands. And then just before she left, she said, he took them both. God does not take people except for two people that we read about in the Bible. Enoch was one of them, and of course the other was Elijah. Enoch, as we've just seen, was taken by God. It didn't tell how God took him or if it was a dramatic way in which Elijah was. But in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, we find evidence of the fact that Elijah also walked with God. He did as God would have him do. He prophesied the things that God gave him to prophesy to Israel to try to bring them back to the right so that Israel too could walk with God. But in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11, we see, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And so when people say God took somebody, they're not talking according to the Bible, as there have only been two. But as we're talking about walking with God, how did these men know how to walk? How did they know what to do? Well, it's the same way that Christians are instructed. It's through the Word of God. Now, it may not have been written word of God. The question oftentimes comes up about why was Abel's sacrifice accepted and Cain's rejected? There obviously had to be some instruction as to what to sacrifice and how it was to be sacrificed. Elsewise, all sacrifices would have been accepted. But they walked according to the word of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it tells us another way of expressing that same thing. We looked at this passage this morning, but from a different angle. But the Spirit brought the word of God to men, and therefore it is there no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit gave us the word of God so that we would know how to walk. And if we walk according to the Spirit or after the Spirit, then we are walking with God as Enoch was walking with God and as Elijah was walking with God. But this is the same way in which Israel was instructed to walk. We find this in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 4. They were specifically told how to walk just after being delivered from Egyptian bondage. If you'll remember, in reading the account of Israel, they were in Egyptian bondage through no fault of their own. Joseph had died. A new king arose that knew not Joseph. And they decided to subject Israel to hard bondage, to hard labor, lest they grow up and overcome Egypt or join with Egypt's enemies. And over the course of time, Israel prayed to God. And the Bible tells us that their prayers went up to God, and he remembered Israel. But as they were delivered, notice in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 4, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. What was Israel being told? They were being given the law of God, and they were told, walk in accordance to that law. And we know from whom it comes, because the last phrase of verse 4 there is, I am the Lord your God. You shall do my judgments, you shall keep my ordinances to walk therein. In other words, God was saying to them, here's a law. I'm giving you a law. I'm delivering it through my servant Moses. He will speak to you as if I were speaking to you. He's giving you the law. That is what you're to follow. If they were following that law, they would walk. In Leviticus chapter 20. And verse 23, we can see that God was also perfectly clear in his instructions regarding how they were not to walk. Oftentimes, when people receive instructions as to what to do, because we're people, we also need to receive instructions as how not to do. It's not just enough to tell them what to do, but you tell them what not to do, and that excludes some things. In Leviticus 20 and 23, and ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. They did not serve God. They did not worship God. They did not revere God. Some of them did not know God. And they should have known God, even nature. Should help us know that there is a God. But they were to walk according to God's judgment. They were to keep his ordinances and not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you. What does that mean? How does that translate across the ages to now? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We see a phrase there regarding walking. How are we to walk? Or where are we to walk? In that particular passage, we see, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. When we read that particular passage, we might see some of the blessings there, but do we realize all that is being said? Not only will we have fellowship one with another, we'll be in agreement if we walk according to God's word, but also we have the continual cleansing of our sins from the blood of Christ. Because if we don't walk in the light, we cannot access that blood, and we will not be cleansed. That's basically saying the same thing as walk as Jesus walked. I've talked to a number of people that one of their grandest desires is to go to the Holy Land, to walk where Jesus walked. I believe I'd rather stay here and walk as Jesus walked. I don't have to walk on the same paths that he walked. Say, well, you know, Jesus slept here. Well, no. That's not important. Matter of fact, while Jesus was here, He said, you know, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I don't need to go where Jesus was to walk as Jesus walks, or as Jesus walked. We can see this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. As John was directed to write in that particular epistle, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. How did Jesus walk? He followed the word and the will of his Father. If indeed we in this life are following the word, then we're walking as Jesus walked. And what joy that brings to the hearts and minds of parents, loved ones, siblings, fellow Christians. Matter of fact, we can stay right there in the books of John. We go to 3 John, and we see that we're to walk in truth and what result that produces. When he was directed to write that particular epistle, that very short one, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What is he saying to them there? It gives me great comfort. It gives me great joy to know that those who I have begotten with the gospel are still faithful, walking according to truth, walking according to the doctrine which was delivered to John by the Holy Spirit, then to the people, and ultimately recorded so that we even today can have it. And so we are to walk in truth as Jesus walked, which will put us in the light. But we can see it didn't just start with the New Testament age. It didn't start just with the Christians. You know, Israel had a law, a specific law. If you'll turn with me to Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, we'll see that Israel, God's people, chosen for the distinct purpose of bringing the Messiah into the world through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they also had a law to follow, and they were to walk in accordance to it. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. When we walk in this life, and we walk in accordance to what we want or what we desire, we're not walking humbly with God. We're not walking in accordance to his word. The question that each of us need to ask ourselves tonight is, are we walking with God? It's an interesting fact about walking. Walking with God has a starting point. You know, if we were to apply some of the things that man has said relative to walking, something to the nature of every journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step or something of that nature. I've heard it several different ways. But even walking with God has a starting point. According to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, those Romans were being reminded that their walk with God began when they became children of God. Remember, the Romans, much of the congregation there, were Gentiles. And notice, as the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write this to the Roman, that it included Jews and Gentiles, because he says, know ye not that so many of us, all of us, men and women, when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we began that journey with the step of obedience, began to walk with God. And as long as we continue to put one foot in front of the other, following God's rules, following God's law, we're walking with God. We could, as a side note here, begin to list off some of the things that we must do in order to walk with God. Some people are not walking with God this evening because they have not shown up for the assembly. People say, well, you know, what does it matter if you miss every once in a while? I can name you more fingers than I have of people that I personally know that began by just missing every once in a while. And before you know it, they're missing and attending just every once in a while. And then before long, you never see them anymore. What have they done? They stopped walking with God. Walking has a beginning point. But you also need to be warned. Walking with God also puts us in a minority. Stop and think about it. Think about all of the world. All of the religions of the world. And of all the religions of the world, there's only one that I know of that is sanctioned by God, directed by God, instructed by God in accordance to His Word. And it's the church that Jesus died for. And it puts us in a minority. And sometimes that's discouraging. Oftentimes it's discouraging. But there was another one way back in time. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, you're going to see one who was very much a minority. I have no doubt that Noah was discouraged at times. I talked to a preacher this afternoon who said they had 4 in attendance today. And before we hung up, he did mention the fact that it was very discouraging. Very discouraging. But Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 talks about the majority. Then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, and we're going to see the minority. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the majority. These are those that were not walking with God. However, Noah walked with God, and he's certainly in the minority. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, a lot of people today are counting on grace, aren't they? Oh, I tell you what, God's a merciful God. And I'm not going to argue that point. He is. The Bible teaches this. But they're going to bank on or gamble their soul on being able to fall down before God if they stand before Him in judgment and say, have mercy on me. He's offered His mercy. But He's offered the instructions as to how to receive that mercy and how to receive that grace. Noah was indeed a minority. And today, if you walk with God, you're going to be a minority. No way to get around it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we see what Jesus said about it. These were the ones to whom Jesus and John preached, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were trying to get Israel to turn to God. And what was he telling them there at the close of the Sermon on the Mount? Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The majority rushing off to eternal condemnation. Not worrying about walking with God, walking according to this world. But verse 14, Jesus said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know why there are few that find it? There are so few in this world that really want to walk with God. There are so few in this world that want to follow the commandments of God. But know that walking with God also puts us close to God. James talks about this as directed by the Spirit in James chapter 4 and verse 8. As James was directed to write in that general epistle, he said, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. You cannot draw nigh unto God unless you begin to walk with God. Oh, you can make steps toward God. You can say, well, I'm going to do a little better. You can commit to attendance or reading and studying and that sort of thing. But when it says draw nigh to God, keep in mind he was talking to Christians too. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. And we watch what he says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James spends some time talking about a double-minded man. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. This should be an intense desire for each of us. It should cause each one of us to want to do something for the Lord. It should make each one of us make the commitment in our minds to be more attentive to the Word, to be more constant in attendance, to be more able to serve God because of our diligent study in His Word. If you'll turn with me to Psalms chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, we see a description of how intense this desire should be in us. I don't particularly like the song that came from this particular verse. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that so many places that have used it have sung it to death. I'm not even sure if it's in our songbook. I don't know that I could lead it, so the next song, now, don't ask me. But it says, as the hart, or the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Have you ever run, and then at the conclusion of your run, been just in dire need of water? That's what it's talking about. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. How much do we desire to follow God? Verse 2 says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We should all look forward to appearing before God. But if we don't walk with God, that appearance before God is not going to be something we desire. The reason that both Enoch and Elijah walked with God is they had faith. You cannot walk with God and not have faith. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It tells us how important it is. It is impossible to please God without faith. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 6 and 7 tells us we are to walk with God according to faith. Now, the latter part of that section, verse 7 there, says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. These people did not know what they were looking for. They simply knew what God's word was, and they followed it. They walked with God. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What do we have faith in? We have faith in the word of God. What is it promised to us? It is promised us that if we indeed are obedient, and if we walk with God, we can spend eternity with God. How many of us have ever been to heaven? Don't answer that. There is no answer. Because nobody has ever been to heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But one day, when these days are over, we can. Enoch had faith. Elijah had faith. They walked by faith. Where does faith come from? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So what did they walk by? What they believed, right? Wrong. That's only good if you believe what the Bible says. There's a lot of people that have faith in their organization, faith in their whatever their preacher teaches, faith in whatever it is that they've been taught from a child up. We were talking about a person that used to work for my wife. She said she was born such and such a denomination and she'll die such and such a denomination. Linda had to remind her when she was born, she was not in a denomination. She became that later on. But her point was, that's all I know. Where did she walk? She walked in accordance to what she'd been taught. Was she willing to hear something else? In her case, sadly, no. According to James chapter 1 and verse 2, those who seek God and overcome temptations refuse to walk after the world, and its allurements, the wicked allurements of the world, are rewarded. Here's another question I asked earlier. Are you walking with God? Do you want to be rewarded after your walk on this earth is finished? James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. They will not receive it in this life, but afterwards. while walking with God in this life is not always easy, there are blessings that come in this life as well as those that are promised in the life beyond. I've talked to people that have said, you know, it's so hard to be a Christian. You know, after learning the truth, I find it almost impossible not to be one. Because now I know the fate of those that are Christians and those that remain faithful. And I know the demise of those who have never been obedient or those who have walked away from the glorious blessings that we have in Christ. And I know it because of what the Word teaches us. There are blessings in this life. And no, Christianity is not always going to be fun or easy. It's not even always convenient. But it's what God has directed for us to do. This requires an agreement on the two that are walking together. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 is a passage that talks about walking together. You know, there are so many that are claiming to walk with God that are not in agreement with God. I was listening to a sermon here recently. I think the sermon was done in, I don't know, 1981, maybe 1984. And I think this particular passage was used. And he made the same point that I want to make. People that are not in agreement with God will not follow Him. And that's what this passage is asking. Amos was directed by the Spirit to ask the question to them, can two walk together except they be agreed? No. Israel could not walk with God unless they were agreed with God. And to walk with God releases us from death. You know, we pointed that out early on. But let's go to the New Testament account of that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, we'll see again about Enoch and what happened to him and why it happened to him. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This also means something important, something applicable to us today. It does not mean that we can ignore the deterioration of our generation. You know, we look out, I've heard several people here recently say, wonder how long God's going to let it continue on. Well, this world is pitiful. It's becoming so evil and so wicked and so worldly. Enoch didn't ignore the deterioration of his generation. You know what the name Enoch means? The two meanings that I have found is teaching or dedicated one. What did Enoch do while he walked with God? He taught people. He proclaimed the truth even while wickedness was all around him. What did Noah do for the whole time that he was building the ark? He preached the gospel of that day. And the gospel of that day was very simple. I mean, you could not misunderstand that. Get on the ark and don't die. Pretty simple gospel, isn't it? However, only Noah, Mrs. Noah, Noah's sons and their wives, 8 souls were saved because they heard God. They walked with God. We've got to be very careful. Jude, verses 14 and 15, again speaks about Enoch. It points out that he walked with God. Enoch also, the 7th from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. What's he coming for? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Friends, Enoch walked with God, and he proclaimed God's message while he was walking. We're also told in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, that we're to walk a certain way to those that are not of the body. Every one of us knows people that are not members of the body of Christ. Every one of us knows people, or related to people, or in association in one way or another, in business or school or whatever the case may be, with people who are not of the body. And while we are associated with those people, we do not know how much time we have. So we need to use our time teaching others the truth of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, they're told, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom. Walk in accordance to the word of God. Walk with God, teaching folks about the gospel. Teaching folks about God and about his commandments and what his commandments are. How do you do that? Well, verse 6 says, let your speech be always in grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, in addition to this, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that we might increase. We have responsibilities to ourselves as well as those outside of the body of Christ. In that particular letter to the Thessalonian brethren, they were told, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. What does that show? That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In walking honestly toward all who may be here this evening who have not obeyed the gospel, I need to tell you how that you too can walk with God. In walking honestly toward all who may be here this evening who are children of God but have allowed sin for whatever reason to work its way into our lives and have not addressed that sin in repentance and prayer, you too can be reinstated into that relationship with God. But you have to follow God's plan as listed in various places in the New Testament. This is commonly called the invitation. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we see, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. One of the first things that a person must do is hear the word. How are you going to follow it if you don't hear it? If you don't read it, if you aren't told what to do? Secondly, you must believe. We've already talked about Hebrews 11, 6. Again, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must believe in God. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And of course, you must know that God will reward them that diligently seek him. Having heard and believed, a person then is to repent. Acts 17 and verse 30 says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having done this, a person then is ready to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But when is a person saved? When they are baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. I'll guarantee you, Saul was praying earnestly for 3 days without sight, praying. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then having done that, we become a child of God. We begin our walk with God, but we must continue that walk. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What is this passage talking about? Those who began the walk and stopped. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They became Christians, but they didn't continue that walk. What's God's commandment for them? Repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We're going to stand now. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 of our selected invitation song. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? Let us stand.